it's just about being super savvy with what these opportunities are and just like grabbing it as you see it happening.
Welcome back to Waves, powered by Arcade, a show for marketers, creators, and entrepreneurs who want to stop chasing the tide and start making waves online. We're your hosts, Mike and Mitzi, and today we're joined by brand partnership expert, Sean Scott.
Sean is the partnership expert from Vancouver, Canada, collaborating with incredible creators and entrepreneurs inspired Sean to build the partnership expert. He exists to help support creators along their path of growing and flourishing as entrepreneurs. Sean has a background working on the brand side, which allows him to see both sides of the equation and create partnerships that get results. Sean defines himself as a social introvert. You'll find him enjoying a well-made cocktail, reading, traveling, or spending time with friends and family. I feel like we're like-minded in that way. Sean, we are so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I am stoked to be here and talk about all things brand partnerships. So funny, I was listening to the intro and I'm like, that's a fantastic intro. And then I'm like, oh, I wrote that. Okay, cool. But yeah, super excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you teed us up for that one for sure. And I hear you on the cocktail. I feel like for me lately, though, it's been sake has been like my drink of choice. And I feel somewhat pretentious saying it, but I feel like it's actually a really approachable drink.
Yeah, sake for sure. Mine is honestly a dry gin martini.
Classic. Oof, okay.
Classic. That's a dry gin martini.
Not just
martini.
Classic, but classy.
That is classy.
Thank you.
Yeah. I wish I could be a dirty martini girl. I just think it's such a power move, but it's I need like a sweet and salty margarita.
Yeah, you're a margarita girl for sure. Margarita mom.
Also that.
Yeah, can't go wrong.
Sean, we've had the privilege of working with you before. So this is a really a big treat because we really respect what you do and the expertise that you bring. And we've seen it firsthand. So we may as well just get straight into the questions. And I'm sure it'll take us in some really interesting directions. But start us off just by telling us about the partnership expert and how you got started in the space.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you. Obviously, pleasure to be chatting with you both after working together previously. My journey has been worked a 9-to-5 for, years, how many of years I can't count anymore, and kind of always wanted to do something, but like truly lacked the time. And then I think when I was working in my last job, I got to just like collaborate with these creators all of the time that were super inspiring, doing their own thing. And every day I was like, I have this itch. I want to do something myself. And then I lost my job. It was, it's been a tough 2-3 years around tech and just the world in general. So found myself in this position, woke up and was like, all right, well, today's the last day. I'm, no longer in this 9-to-5. Like, what's next? Took some time to just breathe and then, really thought about like, what did I love the most about what I did? And as a brand manager and influencer manager in my job, collaborating with creators, entrepreneurs was like, that was the highlight of the day. Honestly, just getting to speak to them, support them, see what they're up to. And so I thought, all right, I've got all of this knowledge about the creator landscape, the influencer landscape. Could I help creators and entrepreneurs do that? So literally, the business actually started by just emailing folks and saying, hey, does anybody need any help with like landing brand deals? Do you need a talent manager? Just to kind of put the feelers out there. And like the response was amazing. Like these folks that I'd worked with previously, brand side, some of them got back to me and they were like, yeah, like we really want to scale like how we work through brand partnerships, how we earn, would you be available? Could you start tomorrow? So it was actually funny. I got the business and like signed the contracts before I created the brand. So then once I signed these contracts, I was like, all right, well, now I need a brand and a brand name. Here we go. Kind of collaborated with a brand designer. She helped me create the partnership expert, the messaging, kind of what we do. So then I did it. Honestly, that was it. It was like, get the business and then name the business.
That's so awesome. We were just chatting about this a little bit before we hit the record button, but Mitzi and I both kind of got into what we're doing out of being laid off from our jobs as well. And we can think back to those moments and probably pull away some learnings, but it's fresh for you. So I'd love to just hear, even because I'm sure some of the people listening have had a similar experience, because there's a lot of that right now. It's fresh for you. What are some of the things that you really took away as learnings, but also even speak about what really drove you to do your own thing in that moment? Because it's easy to think about doing it and to almost romanticize it and to think like, okay, I'll leave my 9-to-5 on my own terms and start my own thing. But when push comes to shove, you need to earn a living and you need to take care of yourself. And when that 9-to-5 is taken away, from my own memory, I can remember thinking, man, I just want that safety net. So it takes some guts to go for it like you did. So can you just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest learning for me from that moment was that you have to bring it back to your values ultimately. Whatever we do business-wise, life-wise, I had to bring it back to what I value personally. So for me, it very much was working with like-minded people, supporting others, and you know, just doing something good. And so for me, I was like, well, how am I going to achieve that? And that's what kind of sparked this idea of like running my own business. Then honestly, it's just a risk from there. I think that's the biggest challenge, but also exciting part is it might not work out. And I said that, you know, to myself and to my friends, my family. I was like, I'm going to give this a go. If it doesn't work out, hey, I'll get back on the 9-to-5 hustle. That's like no problem. But I think having just that like spark and motivation to take the risk was super important. So, but it's challenging because we need the safety net and we do need to rely on that. So yeah, it's a risk.
We get it. Like you eat what you kill in this line of business, especially when you're being an entrepreneur on your own. And then the cool thing about that though, is that you can probably relate to so many of the creators that you work with and the ones that you represent too, because they're doing the same. And I love that when you talk about them, you refer to them as creator entrepreneurs, which is something I think I would love to see us do more often, because they're not just influencers, they're not just creators, they're not just like doing, you know, mindless work on the internet. It's a lot of like back end stuff. It's, you know, coordinating with brands, which is something that you support with. And it's also being the creative director of your own brand and like building your audience and building trust. Like that takes a lot of work, and it's their own business. So as you've been in this space for a while, and you know, our industry and the creator industry at large has been evolving so much, what are the things and trends that you're seeing in the creator space right now? And what are the opportunities that you're excited about?
Yeah, definitely. So some trends. One of the biggest things for me that I've learned this year actually is that YouTube is still super trendy, and I don't think it's going anywhere. Obviously, we live in this world where there are so many social media platforms, the big ones that have been around and new emerging platforms. But for me, I see YouTube as this platform that has existed for quite a while in terms of, you know, the internet and the creator economy. But it still has longevity. It still has creators that are growing, earning. It has brands that are excited about it. So for me, YouTube is a trend that isn't going anywhere as far as I'm concerned. Something else that I love and I'm seeing, obviously a lot of hot topic, but AI in general, specifically, I think the way creators are able to utilize it to script their content, to actually create visuals, to support with their process, obviously is a huge trend that I think can be super positive. On the flip side, it's like, interesting. I don't know if either of you have seen like the AI influencers. So these folks that are, like literally a page where all of their content is AI generated, but it's like a person.
Yes, I have seen those. And they're getting cast in like brand deals.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, obviously there's a person behind that, but the content is a facade. But I think honestly, AI as well, I saw a video last week, which was talking about UGC creators. So user-generated content creators. For anyone listening, basically someone who produces content for a brand to use and often charges for it. Basically, some brands are using AI to gather this UGC together to create content. And so I think it gives an opportunity for a UGC creator to sell basically raw footage, videos, audio files to a brand who can then plug it into AI and do something cool. So for me, like, that's, you know, a trend of the sheer opportunity that I think AI can give creators to earn, to grow, and to optimize like what they create.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so curious about how AI is going to impact our industry even more. Like, I'm already seeing some, obviously, impacts now, but I feel like it's just the tip of the iceberg. Like, it could go so far. So it's something we're definitely watching. I want to talk about brand partnerships, because I think in our space, we've seen there's a lot of talk about traditional brand partnerships where a brand pays a creator or influencer to either create content for them or to promote them. Some of those partnerships are on decline. And I'm curious, like, what's your perspective on that? Do you feel like that is the case, that brand partnerships are on the decline? And if so, what other opportunities or partnerships are available to creators right now?
Yeah, I would like agree and disagree, I think. I would say it is kind of industry dependent. Like, obviously, to take a step back, it's been a wild couple of years with, you know, how different industries have grown and some have shrunk. So I think the idea of a decline is that some industries are in decline with brand deals, but some are still like pretty into it. Like, I think, you know, with the clients that I work with, we work a lot with tech tools, and honestly, some of them, like AI tools, for example, are growing so fast that they want to invest in creators and they want to do brand deals with creators. So I think it's like they're in decline in some spaces, but not in others. But again, the other opportunities there are, you know, monetize in other ways as well. So, you know, Mitzi, you literally mentioned creator entrepreneur, and these folks are business owners. Brand deals are a part of what they do, but they're also monetizing via selling education, coaching, you know, ad revenue on YouTube. So they have all these different streams. And therefore, if there's like a seasonal dip in brand deals, they're okay because they can rely on these other streams too. And I think that creator entrepreneur mindset is like the smartest way to go about it.
I just want to stick on that for a little bit, because you're talking about opportunities and ways to monetize, and you're kind of framing it as a way to like set more of a stable floor, I guess, like for revenue as an entrepreneur or as a creator. Do you still see brand partnerships as being like the most lucrative opportunity, or would you say that like the times are changing and that's still part of it, but there's a bigger opportunity somewhere else in that list of options that you kind of rattled off?
I would say, this is just my opinion, but I think they all have equal weight. Mm. And I think the smartest folks just capitalize on it seasonally and depending on the opportunities they see. So again, AI, for example, it's huge. So approach those AI companies, try and land brand deals with them. Honestly, get that bank that they have right now, you know? So then with brand deals, it's just that constant evolution through capitalizing on what's trendy in the moment. But another really cool one I saw recently was this idea that there's companies out there that will invest in YouTube creators, for example. So they will basically give them upfront capital and the YouTube creator sells the rights to their ad revenue. A great example is Mr. Beast, like YouTube creator that a lot of us know. He actually does that. So he has a deal with an investment company, and they've provided him with, like, I don't even want to know, millions, possibly multiple, like, you know, millions of investment. And he gives them the ad revenue for the next, like, however many years. So I think it's just about being super savvy with what these opportunities are and just like grabbing it as you see it happening. that's my thoughts.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned YouTube, and we talked about YouTube a little bit already, but I agree, like, YouTube is something that we're as an agency really paying attention to, and we're hopefully going to be taking a bit more seriously over the next few months, even as an agency, to be posting more on there. And you mentioned Mr. Beast, and I'm curious because you have a perspective of not only like the creator side where you're representing talent and creators, and also from the brand side. And I'm curious, for some of the longer form platforms like YouTube, do you have any advice or strategies for how to create great performing campaigns on longer form platforms like YouTube?
Yeah, definitely. So just to clarify, longer form campaigns through like a brand deal. So if it was a creator and a brand.
Yeah. Or like if there's any strategies that you can recommend for like, say, YouTube, since it's such a trendy space, like for a creator who's going to work with a brand on that platform, like what are some strategies that you think are really important to consider right now, given that platforms like evolving so much?
Yeah, definitely. I think, so I work directly with a YouTube creator, and she's phenomenal. She's definitely creator entrepreneur. And something that I see her doing very well is very much showing up authentically, which, you know, I think people say that all the time, like, sure, be real, be authentic. But people really do know if you're being fake. So for her to create well-performing campaigns, she's not just like putting an ad into her video that's like a 30-second read that's out of place. Often the integration is very much relevant to the topic. It's whatever brand she's promoting is super aligned with her values. She does use the product or service, and that always performs really well because her audience trusts her and they can see her showing up authentically with that brand. So I think YouTube specifically, it's just, you know, authenticity, be real, which, you know, we're told to do that on Instagram and TikTok. So I feel like YouTube is also going in that direction too.
And then for brands, like, because you worked on the brand side too, what channels do you think that they should be focusing their marketing spend on? Like, I think we work a lot on the brand side as well as an agency, and it can sometimes feel like a lot to be on every single platform, and it doesn't always make sense for that to happen. But from your perspective, when it comes to partnerships and especially with creators, like that can make such a big impact when it's done well. What are the platforms that they need to be investing in so that a creator partnership can come in and do work their magic and make it like the most?
Yeah, definitely. I don't want to get too like intricate with my marketing speak and kind of thoughts, but I think it always comes back to just the goals, so whatever the brand's trying to achieve. So if it's brand awareness, you know, and they're like a new brand and they just want to get their name out there, then TikTok's incredible, right? That's like, you can go viral very quickly and you can get a lot of audience, but it might not necessarily be conversion focused audience, right? But it will get them big. Whereas if they want to do conversion and they want to sell, then fantastic. You need to get into email and you need to collaborate like on a deeper level with creators. And those brands I see succeeding when they're like, yes, I've got a goal in mind. I know what I'm trying to achieve and I will match the channel to that goal. Whereas on the flip side, brands that don't even think about their goals and they just spend on the most trendy channel, probably not going to work.
Yeah, that's a good tip for sure. One question I've been kind of waiting for us to get to, because I'm really curious about this one myself. I spend a lot of time on Twitter. I've talked about this on the show before. That's kind of my platform of choice. And there's not a lot of like brand creator partnerships that I see in real life on that platform, but I do see a lot of talk about that kind of stuff, both from brand side marketers to agency owners to creators themselves. And I've seen a lot lately, especially of people saying how UGC doesn't perform the way it used to. A lot of the UGC they get just isn't really worth the investment. And I know that's not always the case, because I personally know some really great UGC creators that have produced great results for brands that we work with. But I want to get your take on this. How do brands get the result they want through partnerships with creators, and specifically when it's built around UGC? And how should creators on the flip side be managing expectations for what that kind of content is going to produce.
Yeah, I love that. So I could think of it from brand perspective when I used to run kind of, you know, creator influencer campaigns. For me, one way to succeed was to make a big splash. So, you know, basically work with a lot of creators at one time, focused on one campaign. So rather than booking and working with two or three creators, maybe 1 month, a couple the next month, do it all together so that there's this huge, you know, splash around my campaign. I also think setting, again, going back to this goal setting, super relevant goals. So for me, thinking about like, you know, email capture or something like that is how can you work with a creator and enable them to drive emails to your website? It's just like a tactic or an example, and be super specific with those goals. And then finally, give the creator some freedom. You know, I mean, I've worked with some brands on the talent management side where they give me this insanely intricate messaging pack with, you know, you must say this thing at this time. And that's not going to work. Again, it's going back to that authenticity. Whereas if you just enable a creator to speak in their own voice, promote the product in their own way, as long as they're hitting the key messages, way more likely to convert. I think from the creator perspective, it's all data. Provide as much data as you can to the brand upfront during the campaign and after. All the audience data you can possibly share so that they can make an educated decision on whether you have the right brand, like as a creator, the right audience, the right data to help them succeed with their campaign. So it's just transparency and providing as much as you can. And then communication, you know, communicate all the way through. Don't ignore emails. Make the brand just trust who you are and know that they want to work with you.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen firsthand the power of giving creative freedom to creators, especially when you're asking them to post on their channels. I feel like I've seen the negative side of that sometimes, especially if it's more from a UGC perspective. You're asking the creator for that content to post on the brand channel, for example. Partly because I think sometimes creators aren't necessarily marketers. You know, maybe they're more the creative side of the creator equation and less of the marketer side. So is there any advice that you have for those types of situations to make sure that this content is actually like optimized, for lack of better words, to perform or drive the result that we're looking for? Or is it just as simple as what you said, like communication and transparency?
Yeah, I think I feel like I'm not going to answer this question very well, but for me, the best, thinking about UGC, the best performing UGC is what it actually is, the definition, user-generated content. So I think like if a creator is being commissioned to create that, they have to actually use the product or service and be a customer so that they can talk about how they use the product day by day, how it fits within their lifestyle, their brand. Like an example that I would give, it's pretty niche and specific, but there's a clothing brand called Telfa. It's like a bag brand from New York. I personally think they have the best example of UGC on their Instagram. So when you go on the Instagram, you will just see tons and tons of videos that people have taken, like 5 second clips of them in real life with the bag. And they're usually like ridiculous situations, like where someone's just caught a video candidly and then submitted it to Telfa to use. And so when they launch a product or a color or whatever they're doing, they gather all of the UGC around that launch. I would say on the flip side, I don't believe the people get paid who submit the content, which kind of sucks, but it's a great example of like well-performing UGC. So I think as long as you as a creator are using the product, you can showcase how it fits within your lifestyle. That's like a successful piece of UGC.
That's such a great response. I feel like leave it to me, the marketer, to ask for like marketing optimized content from a customer, you know, like, thank you for that rebuttal. I appreciate that. That kind of, I feel like you're going to say something.
Yeah, it reminded me, I don't know if you've seen, but Reformation, they're doing this thing where they'll see like a viral video that goes viral on TikTok. And it can be as simple as someone like sharing like an embarrassing dance that they did at a bar, and they'll reach out to the creator and they'll get them to recreate that video with a Reformation piece on them. So like they'll send them a shirt, because what often happens is some of these videos go viral. They show up on our For You page on TikTok and people like comment, where's that shirt from? Where's your headband from? Where is that? So they'll get them to recreate that viral video with their shirt on. But the cool thing about that approach is that it's not within like a fashion niche at all. It could be like the most random viral video, but they're just trying to like, kind of like, I don't want to say capitalize on the virality, but just like take advantage of the momentum and center their product in those pieces retroactively, which I think is so interesting.
Yeah, that's super, super smart. I feel like that's a really, really like intelligent way for a brand to approach it. Mm-hmm. I saw another one as well. It was it was an AI company that basically sell a service where they can take your product, whatever your brand is, and place it into existing content.
I was gonna mention that, yeah, because I feel like we would be close to that point where even like Reformation, for example, wouldn't have to even ask them to re-record it. They would just have to ask for permission to place their product retroactively in that content. But yeah, interesting. Yeah,
that's wild. I mean, that would be a great way to do it. And then the product goes into the already viral content.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's even better. Another use case that I'm like paying attention to too, and I'm curious if you had any thoughts on this. And I don't know if you've been following, but Alex Earl, she's a big TikToker. She was stranded in, I think, Greece because she booked a accommodation with like her and 11 of her friends, and it turned out to be a fake place. And then people commented Airbnb to like help her, and they actually came through and got them a house. And that's just to me an example of like a brand who's actually like paying attention to what's happening on social media. And, you know, a partnership with Alex Earl, I'm sure, costs like millions and millions of dollars. And I don't know if there's like any sort of deal that happened there, but the like, she posted a video just being really grateful to Airbnb for getting her an accommodation. So I'm assuming that it was like gifted. So I'm curious, like I know your POV when it comes to gifted content or gifted product in exchange for content. And I agree that creators should be paid. But is there a potential use case for situations like this where brands can actually insert themselves into a conversation that's, or a situation that's already happening, as long as they're like paying attention and, you know, finding a way to be a hero essentially?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with exactly what you just mentioned from Airbnb's perspective. It's they're doing something kind. I'm sure from their perspective, they know there's going to be a benefit. But ultimately, they're paying attention to what's happening and they're forging relationships. So I think this idea of like, gifting in exchange for content, it just has to be organic. You know, it has to be, you're gifting it out in the hope that a creator will do something, help you post something, create content around it. But it's just forging relationships. And any brands like listening, I think that's the best thing to do. You know, find those top creators, users that you want to work with, be kind to them. Gift them, but don't demand, you know, and then it probably will create some kind of relationship and the creator will likely post something about you. So I think, yeah, that's such a cool example of Airbnb doing that.
Totally. I'm curious, what's any advice that you'd give for any creators who are listening that they want to create those relationships with brands? Like, I know you mentioned like brands and gifting and it has to be organic, and I completely agree. But if there's a creator who wants to work with some brands, like what is your recommendation for how they should start building those relationships?
Yeah, definitely. I would say this is definitely for me, something that I kind of encourage, you know, the people I work with to do, and I've paid a lot of attention to the folks that are succeeding, is they kind of go above and beyond a little bit with the way they approach a brand. So, you know, create your list of like top 10 brands in your niche that you want to work with as a creator, and then start commenting on their social media. You could post something about the brand as well. So I'm not saying, you know, go away and promote the brand for free, but, you know, if you're doing a roundup of your top five skincare products, include these top five brands that you want to work with in a really like beautiful video that talks about how you use it. And honestly, send the brand a DM. Like I can't tell you the power of just like getting into a brand's DM and saying, hey, my name is X. I already talk about your product here and there. I love it. I would love to produce UGC for you. Do you have opportunities? And that's how you reach them, because, you know, the social media managers, the influencer managers, they're there in the Instagram DMs. So I think just creating that engagement across social media is super important.
Love it. I'm curious what your perspective is on brand trips. We've seen a few brand trips make some headlines this year, specifically in the beauty space. Do you think that brand trips are something we're going to see more of in 2023?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I know which brand you're talking about there. It's honestly, it would again depend on the industry, right? So this idea that there are some industries, brands that are doing very, very well and some that are not. Those that are, I'm sure, will continue to invest in these brand trips. However, my perspective is if a brand wants to be savvy with, you know, how they want to spend their brand budget, I think it's way smarter to work with like a lot of different micro creators rather than taking everyone on a brand trip, you know, create some beautifully gifted PR packages and just, you know, give them to a lot more creators than just select this group of 10 to take them on a trip. So I would say, I don't think we'll see as many as brands get smarter with how they use budget.
Interesting. That's something I'm definitely paying attention to, because some of these brand trips obviously brought on a lot of controversy. But on the flip side, there's a lot of people talking about that brand and their controversy, which is like, you know, there's the saying like there's no such thing as bad press. Like it's still creating more brand awareness and more conversations and share of voice and things like that. So, yeah, that's super interesting.
Yeah, I'd be curious to like beyond awareness if there's any other measurable result from that, you know? If so, then that's great. But if not, then it's kind of, if you have to create controversy through a trip like that, maybe there's a better way, like Sean said.
Exactly.
I want to talk to you about brands collaborating with other brands. I think we've seen some examples of this going well. I think sometimes it can fall flat, but I mostly want to hear your opinion. And do you think sometimes it's a better opportunity than working with an influencer or creator, or are creators always the way to go?
Yeah, I'm going to bring it back to my marketing brain for a second. I think they're totally different strategies. Personally, I think working with creators as a brand is you know, specifically trying to reach an audience that are super close to the creator, and therefore you can ideally, you know, sell, promote via the creator to that close audience. For me, the brand-to-brand collaboration is more about that wide-reaching brand awareness, and, you know, basically saying, okay, I think that this other brand has a similar audience or persona to what I have. If we do this big collaboration, ideally it will give us great exposure. So I feel like they're just very different. Definitely agree with you though when you say some fall flat. Maybe like back to that idea of authenticity. If the brand to brand collaboration appears very authentic and well fitting, then it is more likely to succeed than if it's a forced collaboration.
Yeah.
Speaking of collaborations, like I'm curious what your thoughts are on influencers and creators collaborating with brands to create products. Like, I think that is an interesting model. And from your perspective, like, is there a revenue share like thing that happens from those products? Like, how does that, I'm sure it benefits the creator because it's like, you know, positioning and they're, you know, seen as someone that's like actually informing product design and things like that. That's such a cool opportunity. But from like a business revenue, when we think of like the creator as a business, how does that support their overall business? And like, is it better for the creator to do that than a straight up like exchange of promotion?
Yeah, I mean, I love when that happens. I think there's definitely been some examples we've seen over the past couple of years, like famous sneaker companies that have done it, for example, and the creator benefits a lot from rev share. Honestly, in those moments, what I always advise a creator and advise the people I work with, that's when we need to get a little bit more legal about it and start thinking like an entrepreneur. So thinking about, if I do go down this route, you're basically putting your name onto a product forever. So that product potentially will always exist, will be owned by the brand. Do you want to take that risk? Like, you know, is there a potential that that brand might do something shady in the future, but your name's attached to it? So I think those are those moments when we think like an entrepreneur, we seek legal advice if we need to, and ensure that we've like thoroughly thought out the business implications over just that initial kind of revenue boost.
Yeah, that's definitely the case for sure.
I wouldn't have really thought of that, but I think that's good advice. Sean, we're getting towards the end of the interview here. And a question that we always like to ask before we let you go is, who is making waves right now and why?
Yeah, it's so funny because I feel like this one has been on my TikTok definitely most of this year, and I'm sure you folks know him. His name is Jake Shane, Octopus Lover 8. So he basically creates these TikToks where he's like having a fake phone call, and the caption will be something like, can you do Pluto when it got kicked out of the solar system? And so he does this funny skit of it. For me, that is just like such an interesting moment where he started off maybe like 6 months ago, this random TikTok account, and then literally within the space of a few months, millions and millions of followers and views, and is collaborating with like the Jonas Brothers on TikTok videos. And like, that's wild. Like that sheer growth from just a fun TikTok account to something that likely now is being monetized and is earning him probably like enough to sustain a living, if not more. It's like, that's wild. So I think he's like a person making waves. But outside of that, to me, not naming anyone specific, but you know, I work with and see so many smaller niche micro creators that, you know, are taking this creator entrepreneur mindset where they're, you know, educating their audience on all this incredible knowledge that they have. They are creating super authentic content and building a community. And there's just so much opportunity for folks to do that. So for me, it's those micro creators that are making waves because they have the tools at their fingertips to, you know, build their business and be an entrepreneur, which is super cool.
Sounds like you're in the right space.
Yeah, I love that guy. I saw one of the ones that I love is he did Mark Wahlberg as Jack from Titanic.
Oh, I saw that one. That one killed me.
It was so good. And he did it in the Boston accent. It was amazing. Yeah, he's so funny. Well, this has been really fun. And thank you so much, Sean, for being on the show. Last and final question, where can listeners connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, I love when people want to come and reach me on Instagram, you know, get into my DMs and say hello. So at The Partnership Expert. I also have a newsletter there as well. So I usually do a weekly roundup of, you know, motivation, advice, tips for creators on monetization or just what's happening in the kind of world of creators. So head over to Instagram, say hello, sign up to my newsletter. Yeah, would love to hear from you all.
Love it.
Amazing. Well, this has been special, Sean. Thanks for sharing your expertise, your advice, your wisdom. Yeah, we'll be in touch.
Fantastic. Thank you both so much for having me.
Our pleasure.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into Waves. If you enjoyed this episode, you can hit subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. Don't forget to follow along on social at Hello Arcade, and we'll see you next time.